It's Wednesday, the 13th of January, 2016. Happy birthday to Ronnie Turiaf. Welcome to the Red Rock Fantasy Basketball Monster Podcast, brought to you by moneyball.com.au and Big Bapti. My name is Josh Lloyd, and if you want to be a sponsor of the podcast like Big Bapti, you know what to do. Leave a review on iTunes, and thank you to everyone who has done that so far. But there's other people who are listening who haven't, and it's always your choice, but it would be great if you guys could go out there, spend 5 minutes, and throw a review on there. It's amazingly helpful in helping the show grow, get out to other people, help its viability. So thank you to all those guys, including Big Bapti, who has done that. Also, moneyball.com.au, if you're in Australia or New Zealand, check it out. Play some daily fantasy sports, win some money, put your NBA knowledge to the test, and take down one of the big tournaments. And I know many of the listeners to the podcast have taken down the tournaments on Moneyball, and that's great because I haven't taken one down yet. I think that I've had a couple of seconds and a couple of thirds. I've yet to take down the big one, but I know a couple of people have, or a few people who have listened to the podcast have, so congratulations to all you guys. All right, we have got a fair bit to talk about today. There was a big bunch of games on Tuesday. There's a big bunch of games coming on Wednesday. There was injuries to go through. So, let's not waste any more time.
Let's get to it.
The monstrous line of the night. Had a lot of choices for today. I went with Russell Westbrook of the Oklahoma City Thunder, of course. 22 points for Westbrook, 2 triples, 7 rebounds, 11 assists, and 3 steals, and super efficient as well. 8 of 15 from the field from Westbrook. The 7 turnovers aren't ideal, but if you've listened to this podcast long enough, you know my thoughts on turnovers. I do not care about turnovers really one bit whatsoever. And actually, I'll talk on that for a second. I'm okay with using turnovers in a 9 category league, a head-to-head league, sorry. I hate them in a rotisserie league. In a head-to-head league, I'm okay with using them, but I will never pay attention to them. And that's the way that I roll. So I don't really mind because we know that these high-usage players are going to get big turnovers. And yes, it can help in a rotisserie nine-cat format, but nine-cat roto is one of the worst formats I reckon you can have. Anyway, back to Russell Westbrook. He's averaging this season. He's been fantastic, and he's been consistently fantastic. He's the third-ranked player over the course of the year, 25, 7, and 9.5, 2.5 steals, 1.5 threes, and the thing you really love about him is 46% from the field. We're talking about career-best field goal percentage from Westbrook here. His free throw percentage has always been stellar. He's never been a great three-point shooter, but he's still hovering over 30%, and that's not ideal, but he finishes at the rim so aggressively, and he's shooting all these other shots so well, it's balancing out to a really nice field goal percentage. So you would have been able to draft Westbrook some leagues, 7, 8, amid concerns of KD coming back and cutting into his productivity. Well, he has somewhat, but not much. Hasn't been a big drop off, to be honest, in Westbrook's production. And his actual Z score value for the year is better than what it was last season, which was played basically without Kevin Durant for the whole year. So good work if you picked Russell Westbrook. The waiver wire line of the night goes to Terrence Jones of the Houston Rockets. Jones played 30 minutes off the bench. He went 20 points, 4 rebounds, 3 assists, but added 3 triples, 3 steals, and a block on 6 of 10 shooting and 5 of 6 from the free throw line. It was a little bit out of the blue for him to get so many minutes. He had been struggling to get this many minutes, except when Dwight Howard was out, but he played a big role here. They were running with the Jones, Howard, and Capella as basically the only front court players. They didn't go all that small in this one. And Terrence Jones is a guy I've mentioned plenty of times. I think he's a much better fantasy player than real-life player. If he gets 30 minutes, the stats will rack up with him, but I'm not sure his actual on-court performance justifies him getting big minutes. But if he's going to play minutes like this, then he's worth looking at. Now, I'm going to talk about this when I talk about another guy later on. I reckon Terrence Jones is a definite guy that I'd be looking to add just as a speculative guy and see what plays out with him over the next week or so. I think his production's great, but certain things might change and it might alter his production, and I'm not going to hold on to him long term, but around now is a good time to add him and see what happens over these next couple of weeks. See if he can solidify a role, see if anything changes, and his production can be great if he gets the minutes. I don't think that he's a good enough player to necessarily demand them in all situations, but there's a possibility. So Terrence Jones is not a terrible guy to pick up if he is available, because these are the fantasy lines that he can put up, and it's all dependent on minutes, and let's hope that he can get some pretty big minutes. The young gun of the night. Yep. How many times has he won it this year? I wish I had kept a track, because he's won it a number of times. 27 minutes for Kristaps, and just a massively full line. 26 points, 6 rebounds, 2 assists, 2 steals, 2 blocks, 3 threes, 10 of 18 shooting, and 3 of 4 from the free throw line. 0 turnovers for Kristaps. He actually fouled out as well, and we've seen it plenty of times this year. Well, not plenty, but a couple of times. When Mallow's out, Kristaps takes over, and fantasy stats go through the roof. Mallow lasted 18 minutes in this one with a sprained ankle. He might miss another game, and Kristaps is going to go massive. He is going to be a fantasy... Yeah, I don't want to use stud, but he is going to be a fantasy stud. 3 years' time, he is going to be a top 20 player. I've got zero doubt. In 3 years' time, he's a top 20 player. That's how good he can become, especially if Mallow drops off, fades away, traded away, and takes on a secondary role. If it becomes Porzingis' team, it is going to be crazy. He's able to put up numbers all over the place, as we see here. Not often you see a box score where there's not even a 1 or a 0. It's the minimum he got in the category was a 2. And that's obviously really impressive. There's a lot of talk about Porzingis. Everywhere you look on Roto World blurbs, you look in forums, you look at people tweeting. I'm worried that Porzingis is going to hit a rookie wall. I'm worried that he's going to hit a rookie wall. And I understand that, but over the last couple of seasons, how many players have hit rookie walls? Rookies get better. That's what generally has happened over the last at least 2 or 3 seasons. Not many rookies start out hot and then fade off completely. Most of the time they start off, they struggle a little bit, and they get better, and they get much better. And the rookies' time to shine is February, March, April. That's when they start taking over, and everything falls into place, and everything slows down. So, yes, he's played more minutes this year than he played in the all of last season in Spain. But I'm not concerned about a rookie wall. If someone is concerned about a rookie wall and they're looking to deal him, I'm taking him, because his field goal percentage should go up. And he is. He's shooting 46% the last 2 weeks. Things should slow down for him. If you look at his last week of action, 20 points, 7 rebounds, 2 triples, 2.3 blocks, and a steal on 48 and 83. That's crazy good. I think that there's a chance he gets better rather than hitting a rookie wall. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe I'm missing someone over the last couple of years. And if you know of someone over the last couple of years who has suffered from this rookie wall phenomenon, let me know. But most rookies get better from my memory and my recollection. They get better as the season progresses. They're terrible for the first 2 months most of the time. Now, he wasn't terrible, obviously, and Towns wasn't terrible. They were great. But rookies are generally bad, and then they become good. Let's see how it plays out. And if you've got any examples that I'm missing, perhaps, let me know, and see we'll see how I can sort of apologize for getting it wrong. But I can't recall a rookie who really hit a rookie wall and tailed off massively over the last couple of seasons. There's probably a real obvious one that I'm missing, but nothing comes to mind. The dud of the night, injury-induced Kobe Bryant. He lasted 16 minutes with troubling an Achilles problem, an Achilles strain. Now, it's not a full tear or anything like that, but we know he's had Achilles problems in the past, and we know he's basically on par with Methuselah in terms of his age. Anything can go wrong. 16 minutes, 7 points, 3 rebounds, 1 assist and a steal on 3 of 9 shooting for Kobe. Missed all 5 of his free throws. If I own him, whatever. I just hope that it works out and that he's back on the court. There's going to be problems like this all through the year. He's had problems with his shoulder, which cost him time over the last 3 years. He now problems with his Achilles. These things that just don't heal properly in old men. And in basketball parlance, he is an old man, and these things are going to continue. They're going to have to be careful with him. The last thing he wants is a full Achilles tear, and he doesn't get to play the rest of the season, because that's the last thing the Lakers want, apparently, because they've devoted the whole season as a shrine to Kobe. They're not going to want him to go out. We're going to see some cautiousness happening with Bryant over the next week, I think, until we see exactly what happens with this Achilles issue that he's currently suffering. Definitely not a good outcome for him at this point. The perfect lineup from Tuesday: Isaiah Thomas, 51.6, and Jerian Grant, 33.2. They were going up against each other. That Jerian Grant, it would have been a stab in the dark, because he had been inexcusably, in my opinion, left out of the rotation from the Knicks. I think he is a really good player. He had his best game by a long shot and really got going in the rotation. Maybe this solidifies a bigger role for him moving forward. And Isaiah Thomas going up against Grant and going up against Jose Calderon, he was able to exploit that matchup pretty well. At shooting guard, another two guys who went up against each other: Giannis Antetokounmpo and Jimmy Butler. 52.5 for Giannis and 46.6 for Butler. Butler was a no-brainer pick to put into a lineup. Giannis, not so much. He hadn't been playing very well. And Butler is a really good defender, so it's a little bit surprising for him to get that sort of a line. LeBron James at 49.5. He was a really consistent, high-priced guy. Did I leave someone out? Oh, I did. I left someone out. I left another small forward out. I'll bring them up in a sec. You know what? I apologize for that. Anyway, LeBron, 49.5. The overtime game helped him out. He'd been playing really, really well, though, and consistent. You know generally what you can get from LeBron. The other small forward was CJ Miles, who put up 34.6, and he had a really big game for the Pacers. He had been terrible previous as well, so that was a real tournament sort of punt option. Power forwards, Kristaps Porzingis, 44.2. We've spoken about him already, and Terrence Jones at 35.3. Both of those guys played well in their matchups. And Marc Gasol at 38.5, he was a guy that I spoke about yesterday, and he brought the goods home. And that gave you a total of 386. So it wasn't one of those days where the top score is 420, so you would have seen lower scores in your tournaments and your head-to-heads and your cash games and all that sort of stuff. And some of those ones, like Jerian Grant especially, very, very hard to sort of predict and put him into a lineup. It would have been a definite punt option to get him in. All right, now just a quick break. We have a word from our sponsors, SeatGeek, who has kindly offered to sponsor the podcast for the month of January. The next time you're looking for tickets to an NBA game, you need to check out SeatGeek. It's the smartest way to buy and sell NBA tickets. It is the go-to app for buying and selling sports and concert tickets anywhere, especially throughout the States. I know that my parents are traveling over to the States, and they're getting on SeatGeek to buy some Broadway tickets on there. So Valentine's Day is coming up, guys. Anyone looking to get a ticket to a show, to a concert for their missus, go on SeatGeek. And the reason you go on SeatGeek is twofold. Well, it's not twofold. There's many reasons. It's easy to use, and it's different from other ticket sites. It pulls every option from all those other ticket sites into one place. It saves you time. It shows you the full price of the tickets up front. No hidden fees. You get a ticket grade based on the value to help you figure out if it's a good deal or not. It's a great way to find underpriced tickets. It's very straightforward. They put colors up: green, good deal; red, bad deal. If you have tickets you can't use, maybe you bought a ticket to go to a show with your girlfriend, and then you unfortunately broke up. Hey, sell the tickets on SeatGeek. Get some money back. SeatGeek helps you price those tickets so you can easily sell them on to another fan. All you listeners get a $20 rebate off your first SeatGeek purchase. To get your $20 rebate, download the free SeatGeek app, go to the settings tab, and click add a promo code. Enter promo code REDROCK, one word, as you see on the screen. SeatGeek will send you $20 once you've made your first ticket purchase. Download the free SeatGeek app and enter the promo code REDROCK today. The other reason why it's a good idea to get on SeatGeek and use that promo code is it helps support this podcast as well, and helps legitimize everything that's happening with this show. And if you guys like it, even if you don't buy a ticket, go on there and use that promo code, and it does really help out a lot. So thank you to everyone who's done that so far. I know plenty of you have done it, and I do really appreciate it. So thank you for that. All right, let's get into these box scores now. Break them down in a little bit more additional detail. There we go, up on the screen for you guys. The first game of the night was the Phoenix Suns and the Indiana Pacers. There was no Brandon Knight, which is a little bit of a surprising one. Didn't really have much info on that beforehand. He was ill, so he was out. Ronnie Price was out with his toe issue, and Alex Len, we knew, was going to be out with his hand problem. So the Suns, shockingly enough, started another another different starting lineup. It was a weird one. Archie Goodwin started as the point guard. He went 12-2-2 with a steal and two blocks. He played 31 minutes. He was a pretty decent DFS play at his salary. You could get him in there and put some other high-priced guys around. If you should have known that Knight was out because it was announced and this was the first game. What that meant is that Lorenzo Brown got some extra run. He was a newly signed guy on a 10-day contract, 7-2-5 for Brown. And Brown put up some big numbers last year in Minnesota when he was basically the only point guard at times. But when he had to play, he was able to put up big numbers. So he's a guy to watch if, for some reason, he's forced into big minutes. Now, with Alex Len out, I mentioned this yesterday. I'm pretty sure I mentioned this yesterday. No backup center. So your common sense would tell you Tyson Chandler is going to get a big role. But this is Jeff Hornacek. So without a backup center, Chandler will probably get less minutes. And that's exactly what he did. He only played 17 minutes. 1 point, 6 rebounds, 3 assists, and a steal. He's not a real must-hold guy in a 12-team league. John Lua started, played 17 minutes, and went 6-5. He's not a 12-team league guy anymore. But Markieff Morris. 27 minutes for Markieff. 16 points, 9 rebounds, 1 assist, 1 steal. His fantasy talent and his actual basketball talent is undeniable. Back in the rotation here? Wonder why. I can't say too much. I can't say anything really. But all I'll say is I have added Markieff Morris in a couple of leagues. I suggest if you've got a garbage spot on a team, that I would suggest doing the same. Again, I can't say much about it, but he's back in the rotation. I think there's a reason behind it, and I've added him in two leagues. Might not work out, but that's what I've done. Mirza Teletovic played 30 minutes, and he's been really consistent. 19-5 with 5 triples and 2 assists. He's a great source of threes. The uncertainty is always a concern here in Phoenix with what happens with the rotation. But for now, he can be owned in 12-team leagues. Devin Booker went 19-2-2 in a 3 in a block in 29 minutes. He's a guy that I'd be owning in 12-team leagues. And TJ Warren, he's completely up and down, and it's partly him, it's partly Hornacek. 32 minutes for Warren, 10-4-4 with a 3 and a steal. Still has standard league appeal, but he's going to be a pain in the ass to own most of the year. And PJ Tucker played 35 minutes, 5-10-5 with a steal. I don't really care that he got 5 points, because if you owned him, you're not owning him for scoring bursts. You're owning him because he got 10 rebounds as a shooting guard, and that's great. 5 assists, a steal, he can block shots, he generally can hit threes. I think that he should be owned in most 12-team leagues as well. The Pacers, Paul George, yeah, an okay night. 21-7, 2 steals and 2 blocks, really helped out with those defensive numbers. And CJ Miles, I mentioned that he'd been pretty bad, but he turned it up here. 19-8, 4 triples, a steal and a block. He's just as likely to have 6 points in the next game, though. That's just what Miles is. He's a guy that I think we should hold in 12-team leagues. George Hill, 20 points, 3 rebounds, 5 assists, and 4 threes, so a big night from him. And Monte Ellis' run of big assists continued, 14 points, but 7 assists and 4 steals. He is dishing the ball at a ridiculous rate. He sort of is playing point guard. He handles the ball a lot. He is averaging, in his last 4 games, 8.8 assists. That's crazy. He's not scoring anywhere near what he used to. He was a 19-point scorer last year, 19 points the year before. He's 13 points this year. But he's at over 5 assists on the year. He's almost 2 steals a game. He's still providing great value. And this little run at the moment where the Pacers seem to have changed their ball handling responsibilities somewhat, and Ellis is doing more of the distributing, and it's really helping his fantasy value. Jan Mihinmi with another solid night, 10-5 with a couple of steals in his 25 minutes. He doesn't need more than 25 minutes to be standard league viable, so don't go, oh, well, it's only 25 minutes, because he still provides enough value in that time frame to be useful. Rodney Stuckey lasts just 4 minutes with a sore foot. Again, his foot's been bothering him basically all season. 0 points with 1 rebound for Rod. And Lavoie Allen got another start and went 8-7 with a steal and a block. He's only a deeper league guy for me, though. The next game is the San Antonio Spurs and the Detroit Pistons. Spurs got a win. Wasn't a smashing, so most of their players stayed in for a decent amount of time. LaMarcus Aldridge went 22-13 in 36 minutes. Kawhi played 34, and he's off his game at the moment. 7-5 with a steal and a block. Can't use him in DFS at the time being. you can't do anything with him in standard leagues and just hope that, you know, the form returns that we saw earlier on. But he's definitely in a funk at the moment. And Tony Parker had 31 points, 4 rebounds, 3 assists, a 3, and a steal. He's been surprisingly good after started off the season poor and had a terrible offseason. He's been really good this year. He should be owned in all leagues. Timmy Duncan played 30 minutes, 14-9 with 4 steals and 2 blocks, so great defensive numbers, and that's where his value comes from this year, is all the defensive numbers that he gets you. Manu, 15-5, 2 assists, 1 steal, 1 block, 2 threes. I know I pump on about Manu a lot, and he played 27 minutes here. That's a big amount. I think he has to be owned in 12 leagues, especially in a roto league. I would be all over owning him in a roto league. Boris Diaw is getting some decent run. It's so decent, in fact, that David West was completely out of the rotation here. 26 minutes for Diaw, 12 points, 3 rebounds, and 3 assists. He's not out of place in a 14-team league at the moment. Danny Green's almost out of place in a 14-team league, though. Bounced back from his scoreless game, played 27 minutes, but had 6 points. 2 triples, 5 rebounds, 5 assists. So it's not terrible, but it's still really tough for me to recommend having him in a 12-team league. Boban Marjanovic, game was close, limited to 4 minutes, 1 rebound, 1 assist. Went on about him yesterday. If you can predict a blowout, he's going to get 15 to 18 minutes. If it's going to be close, he's not going to play. Kentavious Caldwell-Pope from the Pistons had 25, 3 and 2 with 3 steals and 4 threes, and that's great when you're going up against Green and Kawhi. And Andre Drummond, 17 and 10 with 2 steals and a block also. Aaron Baines went big in this one. He played 19 minutes against his former team. 15 and 9 and a block in 19 minutes, but he would be really valuable if Drummond got hurt. And that's a name to keep an eye on, that if Drummond goes down and Baines has to play 30 minutes, he will be standard league valuable, no doubt, in my mind. Reggie Jackson, terrible shooting, 3 of 13, but still had 11 assists, still got you a steal, so not a bad night there. And Marcus Morris returned and was bad. Again, 4 and 5, 3 assists, a steal. He's not a must-own player to me in a 10-team league, definitely. And in a 12-team league, I guess it depends on who you're adding, but I don't think you should be anchored to having Marcus Morris in your lineup. Ersan Ilyasova struggled, 6 and 6 in 26 minutes, and Stanley Johnson did nothing. He played 24 minutes back in a bench role, 0 of 7 for 2 points. Clearly he's not quite ready for NBA stardom, not the right word, being a good player. Maybe that's inelegant, but that's the way to say it. The Boston Celtics and the New York Knicks, this is a huge win for the Knicks. The Celtics would have been looking for this victory, but massive, massive win for the Knicks. Isaiah Thomas, I touched on him earlier, 34, 3 and 8 and a triple one, just putting up fantastic numbers. Looks to be sticking as a starter and playing big minutes, and you love it if you drafted him. Jay Crowder went 21 and 8 with 3 threes. His great season continues. And Amir Johnson, 26 minutes for 11 and 6 with a steal and a block. I think that Johnson is a guy that you want to own in 12-team leagues. Now, Kelly Olynyk, 11 minutes, 5 and 4 with a 3 and 2 assists. Early fouls bothered him, but Yanis Jarepko played 24 minutes. Brad Stevens rightly got David Lee out of the lineup, but just didn't play Olynyk. And this is going to be the problem. If I picked up Olynyk, I'm still holding because, you know, he's still starting and there were other circumstances here with the fouls. I'm still holding, but I just hate the way that he gets jerked around. Had someone tweet me a question today saying, oh, I'm sick of Kelly Olynyk being up and down. Should I replace him with Markieff Morris and Zach LaVine? And that just made me laugh because I don't know if two players who have been more up and down than Markieff Morris and Zach LaVine moving forward or throughout this season so far. That made me laugh. But anyway, Olynyk, I'm sticking with him for the time being. Avery Bradley, 38 minutes, so that's huge. So obviously the hip's not an issue. His form's an issue. 10 points, 2 rebounds, 1 assist, and a block. Just stick with him for the time being. And Marcus Smart brutalized your percentages yet again. But this is where he comes in. 6 rebounds and 4 assists. Now, it's definitely not sexy when you pair it with 6 points and a 29% shooting percentage. But it still has some value in certain team builds. As for Jarepko, who took minutes off Olynyk, he played the 24, went 6, 4, and 3 with 2 steals and 2 threes. But he is clearly just a deep league guy. Mallow was looking good before he went off with that ankle problem. 17, 4, and 3 with 2 threes and 7 of 10 shooting. Let's hope he's not going to miss too much time. Robin Lopez played 26 minutes and went 15 and 5 with a block. And I'm going to say good Aaron Aflalo, but maybe that's a stretch. Decent Aaron Aflalo showed up. He had 24 points on 9 of 18 shooting. But in true Aflalo form, he had 3 rebounds, 1 assist, no steals, and no blocks. You know my thoughts on him. Derek Williams had a big night. 15 and 10 in 29 bench minutes. And Jerian Grant, the guy that I was talking about earlier, he only played 23 minutes, but 16 points, a triple one, and 8 assists on 5 of 6 shooting. Now, let's be honest, 5 of 6 shooting is not happening for him again, but he looked more comfortable, and he's looked more comfortable over the last 7 to 10 days, and there's a chance that he takes a starting job away from Jose Calderon. I think it's probably about a 20% chance that that happens. I'm not all that confident on Derek Fisher just giving it to him and running, because even in this one, he played well, but Calderon still played 30 minutes. He could give Saša Vujčić a job. Who knows? I'm not all that confident in Jerian Grant getting that starting job, but in a 14-team league, I'll add him and just see what plays out with it over the next couple of weeks. I reckon if he's going to get the starting job, it's not going to be until February. So you might have a little bit of a weight associated with that sort of a preemptive move. The Houston Rockets and the Memphis Grizzlies. Dwight Howard, another double-double, 17 and 14, a steal, 2 blocks, just doing exactly what you want him to do, and some more. 5 of 5 from the free throw line from Dwight, so that's an unexpected bonus. James Harden, 25, 5 and 5 with 4 triples. That's just a stock-standard Harden night. And Trevor Ariza added 3 steals and 2 triples for his 10 points, and he is just a borderline standard league. I'd still hold him, but I can understand people dropping him. Clint Capella, even with Terrence Jones playing 30 minutes, Capella played 26. Now, he wasn't good. He had a triple one, but a different sort of triple one. 1 point, 1 steal, and 1 block. Had 7 rebounds, missed all 4 of his shots. I still would be holding him in 12-team leagues unless someone just red hot is out there that I want to go and grab. And Ty Lawson was still out, so Jason Terry played 19 minutes, and he dished 6 assists, while Patrick Beverley went 9, 4, and 2 with 3 threes and a steal. Now, I talked about Beverley yesterday, and he had a real explosive game, and this is more of a Beverley line. He's a borderline 12-team league guy. For the Grizzlies, Marc Gasol got things back on track here. 25 and 3, 2 steals and 3 blocks is where his value really came in here. There was no Mike Conley again, and Matt Barnes did sit out with that thumb problem. So Courtney Lee returned, and he returned back into the starting lineup. He played 37 minutes, 16 and 3 with 3 triples. That feels very miragey, so I'm not overly excited about adding him in a standard league. And Mario Chalmers played 41 minutes, 10, 3 and 9 with 3 steals and a 3. So you would have been able to squeeze quite a bit of value out of Chalmers over this last week, but it's not going to last all that long. What about Tony Allen? 32 minutes for him. 17, 7, and 4, 2 threes, 2 steals. He's brutal when he's on the court. He makes them worse, subjectively. I'll have to go and check up the numbers, but I reckon objectively he'll make them worse. But he's putting up fantasy stats. So you can sort of stream him in if you want some boards from a shooting guard and some steals. Don't bank on 17 points and 2 threes. That's not Tony Allen. But he's playing big minutes at the moment, but it is. It's making them worse, and they're not good because teams just don't defend them. And there was stretches today where the Rockets, he'd be out there and they'd just be like, I don't care that you're out there on your own. We're not guarding you. Yes, he hit 2 threes, but overall, it just clogs everything up for the team. Zach Randolph couldn't do the big numbers he's been doing recently. 10 and 9 in 33 minutes for him. The next game was the Chicago Bulls and the Milwaukee Bucks. Jimmy Butler, 38 and 6, and more assists for Butler. 2 threes and a block. Big, big night from him, and big night from Tony Snell, actually. 30 minutes for Snell, 17 and 7 with 3 triples, an assist, and a steal. If I could put a picture on the screen of Fool's Gold, I would do that because I'm not buying into that at all. Pau Gasol played 36 minutes, 10 and 14, 5 assists, 1 3, 1 steal, 4 blocks. A very, very full line, but Pau also said after the game that he's dealing with a sore shoulder and a sore Achilles. It's not good. Not a good sign at all. You can't do anything about it from a fantasy point of view. He reckons he's going to play and be okay, but it's not good. Taj Gibson was down to 26 minutes, 6 and 9. He can be moved on from in most standard leagues. Joakim Noah played 15 minutes for 3, 7 and 2. He's not a standard league guy. Bob Portis went down to 4 minutes and had a block in those 4 minutes. No, 0 point in holding him in 12-team leagues and probably even in 14-team leagues at the moment. Nikola Mirotic. I feel confident that he's set at least for the next few weeks. 31 minutes, 17 and 5, 3 triples, 1 assist, 2 blocks. Putting up great fantasy numbers. He's a top 50 guy with this sort of form. And hopefully you held on to him when the struggles were happening because he's paying you back pretty impressively at the moment. Derrick Rose lasted just 22 minutes in this. Well, he didn't last just 22 minutes. He played. He went off with knee tendonitis patella tendonitis. Came back, couldn't stick it out, left again. 9 points, 3 assists, a steal, and a three. We know that the Bulls and Derrick Rose are always going to be extra cautious, so this doesn't mean that something serious has happened, but it might mean one or two games on the sideline. They will always do whatever they can to prevent something big happening. So you might have one or two games missed rather than him missing 4 months, if they can avoid it. Not good, because he's been looking a little bit better lately anyway. Not a great night from him here. On the Bucks, Giannis went 29, 10, and 5, which I've already talked about, and Greg Monroe played 37 minutes, 17 and 12 with a steal and a block, and the Bulls' front court bump is still real. Love it. Chris Middleton, 16, 6, and 9 with 2 triples and a block. He has been fantastic for them. And Jabari Parker, only the 27 minutes, but a very nice line, 16 points and 3 steals. Now, it's a bit empty in the other categories, still a borderline 12-team league guy, but I'm okay with owning him for now. Michael Carter-Williams stunk in the last game, but it was back to being more Michael Carter-Williams-y. 11, 4, and 6 with 3 steals, 4 of 13 shooting and 3 of 5 from the line is obviously an impediment, but at least he played big minutes and he put up big stats. OJ Mayo, 26 minutes back from that hamstring problem, 5 points, 4 assists and a steal. He's playing basically backup point guard at the moment, and some 2 as well. He's a 14-team league guy. Rashard Vaughn got 16 minutes as well, and he had 4 points in that. And John Henson, 5 blocks in 22 minutes. Great stream option for blocks. Very hard to just hold onto him consistently, though, given the way that he gets jerked around. The Oklahoma City Thunder and the Minnesota Timberwolves. Kevin Durant, 30-7 with 2 triples, 3 assists, and a steal. And Enes Kanter, again, just showed us exactly what he can do. 20 minutes, but 18 points in 20 minutes. 4 rebounds and a steal and big percentages. I feel like at this point, you're okay owning him in a 12-team league, but you're going to just shuffle him on and off rosters a lot. Serge Ibaka, really struggling, 8 points, but still had 2 threes and 2 blocks with 8 rebounds, but just not living up to any sort of potential that we saw from him or that we expected from him. Steven Adams played 28 minutes, 8 and 5 with a block. There's nothing exciting about Steven Adams. He can put up the occasional big game, but he's more restricted to sort of team or leagues where there's more than 150 players rostered. Campaign, only the 15 minutes, but still relatively productive. 6-2 and 2 with a couple of threes, but he's still only a deeper league guy. And Andre Robertson's explosion was short-lived. 18 minutes for Robertson, 4 points, 2 rebounds. On the Timberwolves, Nikola Pekovic was out with a rest, so Gorgui Dieng got back into the rotation, played 32 minutes, and scored 2 points. But he had 6 rebounds, 2 assists, 1 steal, and 6 blocks. I'm not sure that I really trust this to be something happening ongoing. Pekovic will come back and he'll probably go down to 25 minutes. His potential, his fantasy skills are undeniable. But is the role going to be big enough? I'm hesitant. Zach LaVine, after being literally terrible, like absolutely horrible for the last 2 weeks maybe, played 27 minutes here. 21-9, 4 assists and 3 threes. I did not see it coming. I don't know if it'll continue. Some interesting quotes from LaVine after the game, talking about how he doesn't like the approach of Sam Mitchell, and sure, Sam Mitchell's going to really enjoy that. Not putting a huge amount of confidence in LaVine. If you've got some space, add him, but I don't really think that it's going to continue along this realm. Don't really know why Ricky Rubio played just 20 minutes. He wasn't great, but he wasn't terrible. He had 3 points with a 3, 6 assists and a steal, so still okay. And just stop playing LaVine at point guard. Stop it. Bring Tyus Jones back in. Stop playing LaVine at point guard. Stop playing Kevin Martin. It's very simple. I can work out this Timberwolves rotation in 5 minutes. Stop playing LaVine at point guard. It's great for fantasy if LaVine plays at point guard because he can rack up numbers like today. But he's not good for the team. Nemanja Bjelica played 27 minutes, so a bigger role for him. 6-4 with 2 threes and 3 steals. We can leave him alone. And Shabazz Muhammad played 34 minutes. 20 points, 4 rebounds, 3 assists. Definitely 14-team leagues want to have a look at him. I don't think that there's much appeal for him in a 12-team league. And Andy Wiggo had 22 points with 5 rebounds, 2 assists, and a steal in a pretty stock-standard Wiggins line. Carl Anthony Towns' minutes seem to be limited at the moment. He only played 28 here, even with Pekovic out. 14-10, but he's dropping off somewhat, and a lot of that is minute-related. Kevin Garnett has now played under 10 minutes in the last 3 games. Hopefully that's a trend. Not that I have anything against Kevin Garnett, but he doesn't need to be playing 16, 18 minutes. 10 minutes is fine. He played 9 here, went scoreless, and had 3 rebounds. Kevin Martin also back into the rotation for whatever reason, and Tayshaun Prince continues to confound reality. the Cleveland Cavaliers and the Dallas Mavericks overtime game. LeBron, 27-10-7, 3 triples and 2 steals. Really consistent numbers from him. Kyrie Irving, 22 points, 9 assists and 3 threes. He's getting back to his best. And J.R. Smith couldn't keep up the 5 triple, you know, sort of run. Had 2, 10 points in 40 minutes, 3 assists and 3 steals. Still no Mo Williams. Smith's minutes are pretty consistent and consistently big. He should be owned in all leagues. Matthew Dellavedova got hot from deep. He hit 4 triples for 12 points and 5 assists. He's only a deeper league guy. And same as Iman Shumpert, who had 10-2-2, but added 3 steals and a couple of threes. Timofey Mozgov, probably his best game almost for the year. Played 21 minutes, 10-9 with 2 steals and a block, while Tristan Thompson was limited to just 23 minutes. Interesting to see what the Cavs do from here on out, but if I added Thompson, I'll just see what plays out for a game or two and not make any swift judgments or swift moves, and I'm not rushing to pick up Timofey Mozgov. On the Mavericks, Chandler Parsons had a good game. 41 minutes, 25-8, 3 triples, 1 assist, and 2 steals. He obviously has to be owned. You have to deal with the inconsistencies, but we know that he's got very high ability, very high upside. Zaza Pachulia just gets it done, 14-12 with a block, and Dirk had 17-11 with 3 triples in his 38 minutes. Wes Matthews played 42 and went 11-7, and Darren Williams went 16-10 with a steal and a block. If you notice, it's an overtime game. All of the starters played big minutes. The Mavs play again tomorrow. The last time this happened, overtime game, back-to-back, big minutes for the starters, they all rested. We'll talk about when we look at the DFS summary later. But do the Mavs run that route again and rest a whole stack of these guys who have played big minutes? Did Carlisle have that in his head and go, okay, well, it's an overtime game. We're going to run these guys big minutes. And they're playing big minutes anyway. Like, it was an overtime game. So Darren Williams played 43 minutes. He played 38 in regulation. You know, all these guys had... Wes Matthews had played big minutes. Was he intending on resting them in the back-to-back anyway? We don't know that yet, but that's my speculation. JaVale McGee played 18 minutes, and his role is definitely increasing. 3 blocks with 10 points. Still not worth looking at for most standard leagues, but he's a good streaming option for blocks. The last game of the night, the Pelicans and the Lakers. No Anthony Davis again. So Ryan Anderson played 42 minutes, 15-7 with a 3 and a block. And a number of other guys had some pretty decent nights. Ryan Anderson. Jrue Holiday, 14-5-4 in 26 minutes. Would have thought he would have done better against the Lakers, to be honest. Tyreek, 21-5-4 with 3 triples. And Eric Gordon had 14 points. But my boy Alexei Ajinsa played 22 minutes, 10-10 with a block. Just played this guy 22-25 minutes every night. You don't need to give some of these other spuds roles. Just play Ajinsa. Dante Cunningham, just the 17 minutes. No points. Big shock. Alonzo G had 5 in his 16 minutes. And Norris Cole, back to 32 minutes, which I cannot get behind. And he was bad, as per usual. 11-3-4 on 5 of 13 shooting. Good to see Omer Asik play 18 minutes. Yeah. 1 point. He did have a steal and a block, so he had a triple one, the Clint Capella triple one, but had 13 rebounds. So at least he had a little bit of value there, but yeah, he's not a fantasy asset. A guy who is a fantasy asset and is a must own is Lou Williams. I still can't get behind it, and I can't get behind him playing this much, but 35 minutes for Williams, 19-4-8. The Lakers won the game, worsened their chances of keeping their draft pick, so good one, Byron Scott. 35 minutes for Williams just doesn't make sense to me, especially when D'Angelo Russell's only playing 24. Now, Russell went 13-4-3 back from that ankle injury with 2 triples, just needs more minutes, and Byron Scott's an idiot. Larry Nance played 31, 8-6 with 2 steals. I'm okay with adding him in 12-team leagues because the minutes are there, and with Brandon Bass now dealing with an ankle problem and Julius Randle having foot issues, I think Nance is a pretty good chance to stick with a 25-minute, 27-minute role, and he's been relatively productive in that. Jordan Clarkson, 18-7 with a couple of steals. Not a good shooting night from Clarkson, but a decent overall performance. And Julius Randle grabbed 11 boards in 25 minutes. He is not a must-own guy for me. I don't think that he should be owned in 12-team leagues. Brandon Bass played 15 minutes before dealing with that ankle problem. 6-3 for Brandon Bass. All right, we're going to take a quick break. Now, first, we're going to have a break for a message from our sponsors, and then we'll be back to talk. Then we're going to have a song, and then we're going to be back to talk DFS for, what day? For Wednesday. Thank you.
Now I had a dream of you on that cool September night. I had nothing left to look forward to.
Back. We've got 10 games on Wednesday, so let's not waste any more time. Let's get stuck into it. The first game is the Milwaukee Bucks and the Washington Wizards. The Wizards are favored by 5.5. The total is 207.5 points. Marcin Gortat is still in hospital with his knee issue. Apparently he's got a knee infection. That does not sound good to me. I would guess at this point, if I had to guess, and I am guessing, that he won't play. So that opens up minutes for some of their big men. Chris Humphries is questionable. He's missed the last few with a knee problem. And John Wall has got a knee issue. Now, he looks like he's going to play, but he does have an MRI scheduled for Thursday. So it's obviously a situation to monitor. Still no Brad Beal. For the Bucks, Jared Bayless isn't going to play. And we know that General Grievous Vasquez is already out. Now, I've got Drew Gooden as a great option. He's at 3,800. He put up almost 31 points in the last game. Centers and power forwards go big against the Bucks. It's one of his former teams. This is assuming Gortat's out. He's a guy that I would definitely look to fill out a roster and one of those cheap power forward options. He's a great play. 3,600 for John Henson. On the other side of things, he put up 24 points today, and that's with 5 blocks. Do you expect him to get 5 blocks again? Probably not, but he's almost minimum, and if he just gives you 20 points, you're right on value. The problem is he's only averaging 16 in his last 5, so I'd probably steer clear of him. For Washington, Otto Porter's been playing fantastically well. He's priced at 6,100. He's basically 30 fantasy points every single night, and that's bang on, great cash, 5x value. Garrett Temple at 4,500. He can have big games. He can have bad games. It renders him as more of a tournament play to me. And Jarrett Dudley in a similar boat. 4,100 for Dudley. A good matchup against the Bucks, and again, former team. No, not all that confident in using him. Michael Carter-Williams at 6,900, put up 30.8 today. It's a couple of sort of down-ish games. The John Wall defense factor scares me off using him. And I'll say the same thing for John Wall. The Michael Carter-Williams defense factor scares me off using him. Now, you've got to pay 10 grand for John Wall. That's probably a bit expensive. He did put up 44 points in the last game, and he's a 40-point average guy across his last 3. But the Carter-Williams defense situation makes me hesitant. On the Bucks, if Gortat is out, 7,600 for Greg Monroe looks like a pretty decent price. He put up 37 today against the Bulls, and against Drew Gooden, I think he should be able to account for him pretty comfortably. Chris Middleton at 6,700, I think is tremendous value. He put up 37 today. He's a lock for over 30 almost every single night. And Jabari Parker at 4,800 is a nice punt play. There's 25-point upside easily there with him. He's averaging 24 across his last 5, so he's a 28, 29, 30 point upside. I think he's got cash game potential. I think he does have, I think he has tournament upside as well. OJ Mayo, I think we'll leave him alone. And Giannis Antetokounmpo at 6,800. Massive, 52 points today, but not sure that I really think he's going to do that again. Otto Porter is a pretty good defender. The Wizards do shut down small forwards and power forwards, where he spends a bit of his time. So not sure this is a great spot to use Giannis, but we saw what he did today against the Bulls, and he was obviously very impressive. The Atlanta Hawks and the Charlotte Hornets. The Hawks are favored by 3. The total is 204.5. The Hornets are going to want to get a victory soon, considering how much they've been losing lately. Kyle Korver is listed as probable with his ankle. He will play. Thabo Sefolosha, probable with the wrist, which caused him to miss the last game. And Jeff Teague, who had an ankle problem, he is going to play. So it doesn't look like the Hawks are going to be missing anyone. As for the Hornets, all their guys are ready to go. Jeremy Lin is priced at 5,300, and he put up just 6 in the last game. That is clearly not good, but I think this is a nice matchup for him. I think 30 minutes are in play. I like Jeremy Lin, but probably more of a tournament guy for me. And 4,900 for Cody Zeller on the Hornets. Hawks can yield some points to big men. He could be a 24-point guy here. I think that's probably right where he needs to be at 4,900. I don't think he's a terrible matchup. Kyle Korver has a great matchup. He's also been playing terribly. He's priced at only 4,000 now, so I can understand putting him into a tournament and hoping he gets hot and hits 8 threes or something like that. I'm not putting much stock in it for cash games, though. Nick Batum at 7,300. The last few games have been a little bit low for him. He'd been fantastic prior to the injury, came back, and just, you know, only 20-26 in the last one. I think that he has got big upside here. Don't think his ownership will be very high. I think he can absolutely destroy Kent Bazemore. I do like him here. On the Hawks side of things, Paul Millsap at 8,600. I think he's a really good play that the Hornets do allow power forwards to put up some big fantasy lines. He already dropped 46 in the last one. He could be looking at another 40-point performance here. Jeff Teague, no thanks at 5,800. Coming off an ankle, minutes have been down. He's only averaging 23 in the last three games. No thank you. Kemba Walker at 82. He's in a slump, but the matchup is easy for him. But at 8,200, it's just too high. He's only averaging 26.8 across his last three. It's very hard to justify spending that money. Marvin Williams, no thanks at 4,700. Jeremy Lamb's been playing all right. I don't hate him in a tournament at 4,700. And Al Horford has been on fire. He's now priced at 8,200. So it's expensive, but a 50-point average across his last three. He dropped 64 in the last one. It's not crazy to go and use Al Horford. But I don't think we're going to expect him to go for 64 again. But he is in red-hot form. He's got a 45 average across his last five as well. So you know, consistently putting up pretty big numbers. Kent Bazemore at 5,800. You're going to need him to approach 30 points. I think he can do it. I think that he's not a bad guy to have a look at here. Didn't play many minutes in the last game, but that was against the Sixers from memory. I think that he can get close to 30 in this one. I don't think there's many other guys we really need to cover off. The New York Knicks and the Brooklyn Nets. Obviously, the injury to Melo is an issue, and we need to check on that. Regardless of if Melo plays or not, I think that there's a lot of Knicks guys here who have value, and it only goes up if Melo's out. Kristaps
Porzingis
at 6,300. He put up 44 in today's game with only half of no Melo. It's against the Nets. We could be looking at 50 for Porzingis here. I think that he is a great option. I love Robin Lopez here at 4,500. That is not a big salary. If he gives you 25 points, which is what he's been averaging, you're at 5.5x value already. And he's got to play against the Nets. Aaron Aflalo at 4,700. This might sound sacrilegious that I'm recommending Aaron Aflalo, but he's playing the Nets. I'll keep saying that. They're playing the Nets. He put up 29 today. He's got a 24-point average across the last five. He's priced at under 5,000, and he could get hot. So I like him more for tournaments, but he's not a terrible cash game play. Jose Calderon at 4,400, just not providing value at the moment. We can leave him alone. Melo, I would love it if he played, but too much uncertainty at this point. Other Knicks guys, Lance Thomas is the guy who gets the bump. If Melo is out, he's at 3,700. He is someone that you'd look for, but he relies upon his shot falling. If his shot doesn't fall, he doesn't do much in the other areas. But at 3,700, a starter who might play 28, 34, 32 minutes, you have to look at that. On the Nets side of things, Wayne Ellington at 3,500. He started the last game. He wasn't good, but if he's a minimum salary starter, then it has to come into consideration for a tournament. As for the point guard mess, Shane Larkin and Donald Sloan both played 24 minutes in the last game. Sloan is priced at 3,700. Larkin is priced at 43. I probably take Sloan over Larkin just for the price difference, but Sloan is not a good player. I still think that Larkin is not a great player, but he's better than Sloan. And you can justify using both of them because maybe one of them has a big game, but in cash games, I'm no chance am I relying upon these guys in cash games. Thad Young has been down. At 6,700, I don't think we want to use him, even though that price is appealing. His numbers just haven't been good as of late. And Joe Johnson is currently dealing with a quad contusion. At 5,000, that salary is just a little bit too expensive, despite his improvements in his play lately. Jerry and Grant, if you think he can do it again, at 3,500, he's still minimum salary, and it is an easy matchup. Go throw him in a tournament. Yeah, they're not married to Jose Calderon playing big minutes. Maybe they give Grant an extra 25, or not an extra, but maybe they play him 25 minutes or so. There's a possibility there. Indiana and Boston. The Celtics are favored by 2. The total is 202. Injury-wise, Rod Stuckey's the main one we need to look at. He left that game with a sore foot. I think it's unlikely that he plays. Obviously, we need to check more closer to the game to see whether he actually gets into the game. I don't think it's going to have much of a DFS impact, though. Avery Bradley's been bad lately. 5,000 since coming back from injury. 5,000 is his salary. He's only averaging 14 points in his last five. And the matchup looks good for him, but I don't want to use him. I do want to use CJ Miles at 4,200. He's a guy that played well today and has had very, very decent streaks earlier on this season. And he tends to do it a couple of games in a row. So after a big game today, that's sort of anecdotal sort of evidence there. But I think that he could be looking for another decent game, but hard to rely upon him in cash. 4,600 for Kelly Olynyk. Can't rely upon what Brad Stevens is going to do, unfortunately. And that means that Jared Sullinger at 5,500 is probably out of action. And Amir Johnson's been consistent. And 4,900 is appealing, but against the Pacers, they do shut down big men pretty well. So I would leave them alone. Isaiah Thomas at 8,300. He's been phenomenal. 40-point average across his last five. I reckon you can use him, even though the Pacers do a pretty good job of shutting down point guards. I'm okay with using him. Paul George at 9,000. Yeah, but probably not. He needs to get over 40 for that to really work out, and I don't think that it's a great spot with Jay Crowder on him, but I do like Jay Crowder. He's averaging 30 in his last five. He's at 6,300, and he's a pretty good guy to get out there and use, I think. Jan Mahinmi at 5,200. That salary is just a little bit high, but the Celtics front court is yielding to opposition big men, and they can put up points. He's a 27 average across his last five. At 5,200, that's right on 5x value. That's where you need him to be. George Hill, forget about it, going up against the Celtics backcourt, not going to happen. And Monte Ellis, that I'll fade him for that same reason. Although he's been pretty decent, he's still priced at 6,300. And what the Celtics defensively can do in that backcourt does worry me. The Dallas Mavericks and the Oklahoma City Thunder. I could talk about this for 5 minutes and everything could be completely different tomorrow or today or whatever day you're listening to this. Because we saw this play out maybe last week, where the Mavericks, coming off an overtime game, played big minutes to their starters and then sat them all. Could happen again. Who was the big winner last time from that? Dwight Powell was a huge winner. Ray Felton had a bigger role. JJ Barea had a bigger role. We might see some more Zaza Pachulia. It really depends on who they're going to sit. So if everyone plays, I don't like any of these Mavericks guys in this one. But if Darren's out, if Dirk's out, if Pachulia's out, then Dwight Powell becomes very, very interesting. On the Thunder, Russell Westbrook at 10,900, especially if we're talking about him going up against backups, it's a big price, but he is still almost giving you that value, averaging 55 across the last three. It really depends on if you found some other cheap guys that you like, but it's a pretty big price. I would prefer taking the 10,000 of Kevin Durant and using that rather than that extra $900 on Russell Westbrook. Serge Ibaka at 6,000, he's just not producing at the moment, so I think we'll leave him alone. 4,600 for Enes Kanter is appealing, though. He's not needing many minutes. He's giving you 22 points across the last three. I probably wouldn't use him, but he has definite appeal. Not much else really stands out to me for this one, obviously, unless these guys go out and we see Dwight Powell get himself into a bigger role. But for now, not much else to really like in that one. The Minnesota Timberwolves and the Houston Rockets. The Rockets are favored by 9.5. The total is 206.5 points in this game. Ty Lawson should be back. He had that suspension. He should be back in for this one for the Rockets. The Timberwolves, Nikola Pekovic should be back after sitting out the last game due to rest. Zach LaVine at 3,800. He was huge, obviously, today. Do you expect him to do it again? I'm not overly confident, but the Rockets bump is a real factor in a tournament. I would look at him. 6,500 for Andrew Wiggins. He's consistently giving you 30 points at the moment, which is good. At 65, it's not quite where you want it to be, but against the Rockets, this is a spot where I can really get behind using Andrew Wiggins. I can also throw Shabazz Muhammad in some tournaments. He's averaging 25 across his last three in 29 minutes. He put up 26 today, and that sub 4,000 price is appealing, and the Rockets make it appealing as well. Patrick Beverley at 4,500, he's more of a tournament guy. James Harden at 10,000, I think is a relatively solid high-priced player going up against Minnesota. Not many guys are gonna really shut him down on that team. 7,400 for Karl-Anthony Towns, he's not living up to that salary at the moment. We can give him a rest. And 5,200 for Trevor Ariza, I don't think is worth spending on. Terrence Jones at 4,300, was this a sign of things to come? I don't know. I don't want to rely upon it in a cash game. So I think we leave him alone unless we're talking a tournament punt. And Dwight Howard at 8,200. He's giving you 40 points basically every night at the moment. But the Timberwolves have restricted centers quite well, so I reckon we fade him. Gorgie Dieng had a big game, but I don't want to get too invested in him, nor do I want to really spend up for Ricky Rubio at 7,600. That feels too expensive for me. The next game, the Denver Nuggets and the Golden State Warriors. Draymond Green is apparently going to be rested these next two games. Sean Livingston and Andre Iguodala could also be rested. So that's going to throw this lineup into chaos. Well, not even to chaos, into what's happening. I like Klay Thompson at 7,600. If he plays, he's going to have to take on more ball handling, more scoring with Draymond out. I think that he is a really good play at 7,600. Now, depending on who else sits, if Draymond's out, does Maurice Spates start? Does Harrison Barnes come back in at start? And then I'd look at Barnes at 4,900. Maybe he can put up 40 points. No, that's a big number. Let's try that again. Maybe he can put up 30 points. And the Nuggets are very, very fantasy friendly. He'd be someone to look at. Andrew Bogut at 4,300. No thanks. Festus Ezeli is back. I don't think I don't want to use Bogut too much. It all depends on really who is out. Jason Thompson becomes marginally interesting at minimum salary. He might start. He might find himself in a bigger role. I'm not overly thrilled with him. Same with Maurice Spates at 3,600. But this is the Nuggets. It is an easy front court to score on. So whoever you find out is going to start in place of Draymond is definitely worth looking at. On the Nuggets side of things, Danilo Gallinari at 7,200. He's been giving you 36 points almost every night. I think he is a great guy to look at here. Nikola Jokic at 4,500. I can almost get behind using him. And Yusuf Nurkic at 43. Same. Both these guys are 22, 24 point guys, maybe a bit more upside, but it's very hard to rely upon them. I'd probably go in different directions, especially with Kenneth Faried back. He's at 6,300. I don't want to use him. Emmanuel Mudiay at 5,000. I don't want to use him against Steph Curry. We can leave that alone. And speaking of Steph, he's at 10,700. And that's an expensive salary. I'd rather spend $200 extra and get Russell Westbrook at this point in the season. Will Barton at 6,700. He has just been playing bad lately. 21 points across his last five only. Not a good matchup for him. I think we leave him completely alone until he regains his Michael Jordan form. The last three games of the night do not have any spreads. The New Orleans Pelicans and the Sacramento Kings. Obviously, we're waiting to see what Anthony Davis is doing. If he's playing, it obviously changes the situation here. If he's out, Ryan Anderson has been the guy that's been getting big minutes. So he's a guy that you would look to use. I think Drew Holiday and Tyreke Evans both have good spots here, especially they're going against the Kings. Holiday at 7,800. No, sorry, Evans at 7,800 is averaging over 40 points in his last three. Holiday averaging 36 in his last three at 6,200. Both of those guys are in pretty decent spots. And Eric Gordon at 4,800. It's only a tournament play. He hasn't been able to get things going. The Kings do allow shooting guards to get going, but he hasn't proven it as of late. Not many other Pelicans guys that I really think are worth looking at. Maybe Alexei Ajinsa if Davis is out, but it's strictly a tournament option. On the Kings, I like DeMarcus Cousins. The Pelicans front court is bad, and he's got a 55-point average across the last three. That's 10,600, and if I'm choosing between him at 10,600, Curry at 10,700, and Westbrook at 10,900, I'm taking Cousins at 10,600. Darren Collison at 5,400 has been playing well. The Pelicans' backcourt is not all that difficult, but I'm not sure I want to use him. And I'm pretty sure I don't want to use Rajon Rondo at 8,000. That is a pretty expensive price. He wasn't good in the last game. It's appealing in terms of the matchup, but he's going to get 40 points, and I'm not sure I'm all that confident in him doing it. I'm more confident in Rudy Gay at 7,400. He's got a 38-point average across the last three. I'm more confident in him getting to 40 than I am with Rajon Rondo. Omri Caspi looks like he's back. That'll cut into Marco Bellinelli's playing time a bit, so I think we leave both of those guys alone. And yeah, I think that's probably it from the Sacramento Kings side of things. The Utah Jazz and the Portland Trailblazers, there's no spread here either because we don't know if Derek Favors is going to be back. If I had to guess, I would say that Favors would be back for this one, and that's obviously going to throw a few of the rotations around. I'm not going to use him in his first game back, but I am okay with getting Rudy Gobert in there. He's at 6,800. He played 30 minutes in the last game, only 24 fantasy points, but a 30-point game is not crazy for him. He could go big with blocks. It's the Portland front court, which is a big, big boost to big men. I think that Gobert is someone to look at. Rod Hood at 5,300. Nice matchup for him going up against guys like CJ McCollum. He's been playing fairly well. I do love it. I think he's in a good spot. Gordon Hayward at 7,300 in a similar spot to Hood going up against guys like CJ McCollum. He gets a bump if Favors is out. I don't overall love his position here. On the Portland side of things, Damian Lillard at 9,100. He's averaging 50 in the last three games, 53 to be exact. I can definitely get behind using him at only 9,100. I think he feels like a lock for 40 points most nights at the moment. The bigs in Portland, Ed Davis, Myers Leonard, Al-Farouq Aminu, Mason Plumlee, very hard to rely upon them. Plumlee is probably the more consistent, but even then, that's a big statement at 5,300. And Al-Farouq Aminu at 5,100, I'd probably end up fading all of them. 8,300 for CJ McCollum feels too high against the Jazz. Don't think I want to really go and use him. And Jazz guards, Rahal Neto and Trey Burke. Neto's played more minutes than Burke, I think, for the last four games, and he's been over 20 in those four games. Doesn't mean that we want to use him for fantasy. If Favors is out, Booker, Withy, maybe, but most likely not. The last game of the night, the Miami Heat and Los Angeles Clippers. No spread for this one because Hassan Whiteside missed the last game with a knee issue, and DeAndre Jordan is battling an illness, and he has been downgraded to questionable. Now, Jordan hasn't missed a game in a very long time, so interesting. If he doesn't play, if Whiteside doesn't play, maybe Jordan doesn't play as well, because they don't need as big a center to match up against a small ball lineup. Interesting to see how they play this. Gerald Green at 4,100 has been getting lots of minutes. He's got a 27-point average across the last three. He's a fine shooting guard to throw into a tournament. And I don't love much else. 8,100 for DeAndre Jordan. It feels expensive for a guy who's sick. Hassan Whiteside at 7,300. Not for me going up against Jordan if both those guys happen to play. JJ Redick at 5,100 is an interesting guy to look at. But the Heat's defense, it puts a cap on so many of these guys' ability. Chris Bosh at 8,000. He's been really good, but not good enough to justify 8,000 for me. And 9,600 for Chris Paul. No, look, I know he's been averaging 50, but the Heat, they shut down point guards. And he might only give us 35. He might only give us 40. And it's not going to be 50. And he needs to be close to 50. I don't think that I'd want to invest in him. The wing players, Wes Johnson, Austin Rivers, Jamal Crawford. Maybe Crawford I'd look at 4,000. But no one really stands out to me as being guys that I have to get my head around or get into my lineup and use them. All right. That's it for the DFS. Now, yesterday's podcast, I did forget the DFS part of the show, the value plays, but I caught myself. When the outro music was playing, I realized, and if you had listened through that music, you would have seen me come back on and do the DFS plays. Today, I'm not forgetting. I'm doing the DFS plays right now. At point guard, Donald Sloan, 3,700. Drew Holiday, 6,200. And Tyreke Evans, 78. At shooting guard, Aaron Aflalo, 47. Rod Hood, 53, and Klay Thompson, 76. At small forward, CJ Miles, 4,200, Chris Middleton, 67, and Kevin Durant at 10,000. Power forward, Drew Gooden, 3,800, Kristaps Porzingis at 6,300, and Paul Millsap at 86. Centers, Robin Lopez, 45, Rudy Gobert, 68, and DeMarcus Cousins, 10,600. A few of those guys are really dependent on injury, especially Gooden. Aflalo with Carmelo to an extent as well. They get a big bump if those guys are out. I like Porzingis either way, whether Melo plays or whether Melo doesn't play. We are done for today's show, guys. It's been hopefully an information-filled show. Subscribe to the podcast on YouTube or on iTunes so you never miss an episode, and on YouTube also. Help support the podcast by going to visit our sponsors, SeatGeek, and using that promo code REDROCK and moneyball.com.au. As always, my Twitter account is redrock_bball. You can also follow Basketball Monster on Twitter at BaskMonster and check out all the great tools we have over on the Basketball Monster site, which is basketballmonster.com. We are done here, guys. Thank you so much for listening, everyone. See ya.